This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Todd Van Hoos, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Farm Credit Council. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Farm Credit's Todd Van Hoos next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's Crop Insurance Industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 490 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Farmers and ranchers are facing a more challenging horizon approaching 2024. Input costs are up, and farm income has moderated from record levels. Todd Van Hoos, President and CEO of the Farm Credit Council, is hopeful that congressional leaders can deliver a new food and farm bill sooner rather than later.
Look, everybody wants a full farm bill, right? I mean, we talked to all four members of the Four Corners in the House and State Agriculture Committee 2 weeks ago and right before the extension passed, and all of them just said flat out, look, we want to get a farm bill done, full five-year farm bill done. But the political reality was we were going to have this extension done. And so we're thrilled that the extension got done. It certainly gives farmers a certainty for next year. That's really important, especially with a lot of questions about the farm economy right now. We can talk about that. But so we were very happy to see the extension get done. Now, every one of those four corners said, look, we're going to get this extension done, and then let's get after it. Right after the first of the year, let's start back and try to get the full five-year deal done. So I think the first one was a very necessary move. And we're optimistic that the four leaders in the House and Senate Agriculture Committee can produce some legislation early next year. And we sure want to get that done. I would say try to get it done in the first quarter. So it'll be really important to try to get a full farm bill done next year.
The fact of the matter is decisions for the 24 crop season will be made before a new farm bill can be written. So is the 18 adequate to meet the needs of the industry in crop year 24?
Well, I think everybody would like to see, you know, things like base acres, right? Things like all of the updates. The industry is very different 5 years later than it was, you know, back in 17 when the 18 bill was really written. And so, you know, we see a lot of people advocating for some updates. And, of course, the real challenge is where do you get the money to do that? And I think both sides acknowledge to us that they want to do more. And the question is, how are you going to get the funding and how much more can you do? And so I think an update is necessary. We certainly think that the 18 bill was great. We look forward to some positive changes in the next one. So I don't know. I'm a little bit optimistic they can find some more money and get a bill done that farmers need out there.
Economists don't expect a lot of easing for input costs in the year ahead. No. So can a farm bill with the current reference prices really be adequate in this climate? And if so, or if not, even in a new farm bill, how much do they need to be raised to be effective for the relationship between farmer and lender?
I'll tell you, we're not seeing softening. You're exactly right on the input costs. I mean, input costs remain stubbornly high across the industry. At the same time, you know, people have been watching markets closely. You know, prices are down in the last quarter. And the hog industry in particular is hard hit right now. And even for those who are currently profitable, those profit margins are getting squeezed by the input costs. And so I don't know that we see a massive shift in that basic economics, certainly for a bit here. You know, our expectation is we're going to see input costs remain high. We're going to see profits get squeezed in agriculture. You know, most sectors are still able to project a profit. So I think you're asking exactly the right question. Are the are the rules of the 18 bill okay for the next 5 years? And I think everybody believes that we're going to have to see some change on that. But again, you know, if you talk to folks on the Hill, the question is, where do we get, it's going to cost more. Where are we going to get that money?
One item in the Farm Bill debate, as you mentioned, is the update of base acres. Some commodity groups favor a mandatory update and others say to leave it alone. So a reality is that not all crops are covered. And there are some young farmers that have told me a majority of their cropland is not covered. So if that's the case, how is this a dilemma for the, again, the relationship between the farmer and his lender?
You know, as you said, everybody's different. Where you are depends on where you sit, right? I mean, it always has been in agriculture. There's regional difference. There's commodity differences. And we try not to get in the middle of adjudicating those. But I will tell you this. It's probably never been harder for a beginning farmer to start out in agriculture than it is right now. Because when you look at the cost of land, when you look at the cost of inputs, when you look at the cost of labor, the barrier to entry is immense. And so any changes that can be made that would be helpful to folks to attract the next generation into agriculture, we sure do encourage the Congress to think hard about.
Knowing that input costs have been high and remain high, and that technology that's coming to the farm costs more, and that land costs more, is it time for the Farm Service Agency to look at loan levels and perhaps see some changes to reflect the economy as it is today?
We sure hope so, and we're working hard on that issue because you nailed it, right? The cost of land is up, the cost of inputs up, the cost of labor's up, everything costs more. And those loan limits certainly were a good idea at the time, but it's time to update them. And we've got good support on that from in both the House and the Senate. And I'm optimistic that we're going to see those levels raised because, you know, the truth of the matter is for some customers out there, the only way they can get a loan is to get it guaranteed by FSA, you know, from a private lender, including Farm Credit. And so we've got to have those loan levels reflect reality. And the reality is it's really expensive to operate out there right now. And so I think Congress is recognizing that, and I think it's going to get done in the Farm Bill.
Is it time for a new approach to farm supports in the country, given the times that we're in?
We travel around the country quite a bit. We talked to the House and Senate Agriculture Committees who traveled around the country extensively all last year. And what we hear is the current framework for the Farm Bill, the basic mechanics of it, working pretty well. Are we going to need some additional investment? Yes. But I don't hear a lot of agitation out there to, you know, pitch the whole thing and start over. I don't think that's necessary at this point.
There's a discussion of offering subsidies on greater coverage, that in the event of natural disasters, to offset the need for ad hoc disasters. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think everybody has concerns about, you know, historically has concerns about ad hoc disasters because you never know how much the payments are going to be. You never know who's going to get the money. They're not dependable. You can't forecast them. And so the idea that you might be able to, let's call it sweeten the pot a little bit and avoid those massive unbudgeted federal payments that are ad hoc disaster bills and give somebody something that they can project, that they can sit down and go, okay, I know if this happens, then that's going to happen. And I can build that into my plan and I can work with my lender on that. That sounds pretty attractive to me.
Todd, overall, how is this industry faring in this economic climate? And are there areas or regions of the country or particular commodities that are suffering more than others?
Well, you know, I think the story in agriculture for the last few years has been really, really good, right? You look at the income levels, they've been very, very strong, some historically strong. But we know that's not every farm. Even when farm income is so strong, we know that's not every farm. We know there are difficulties out there. We see those every day and acknowledge that. But right now, what we're seeing sort of universally is margins tightening. Commodity prices are down. For mostly, input costs are up mostly. Most of the commodities that we're following very closely are still above water, but not by much. And then you look over at hogs and you just see real problems. You know, that industry is facing some tough, very tough times. And so far, the news is still okay, right? People have built up some staying power across the last few strong years. We're not seeing credit really soften with our customers, and we don't project it to be that terrible. But certainly there is concern, and that's one of the reasons we think that it really is time to get this 5-year farm bill done, because we've got to know what we're dealing with. You know, people tend to focus on, well, the price is this right now. Well, the price is going to be what the price is going to be, but farmers are amazing stewards. They're amazing executives of their operations. They can adapt, but they need to know and have certainty around those programs, and I think that's what the Farm Bill is all about. And the 1 year, as I said, the 1 year extension is great, but boy, we need a 5-year plan.
The Kansas City Fed reported credit conditions softening in the third quarter. What about farm credit and the customers that you serve?
You know, certainly people, when they're coming in to write plans for next year, they're showing some stress, right? They're showing a very difficult profit margin environment. But many of them have strong working capital. Many of them aren't leveraged very highly. And so they've got some room. So I don't think we see a terribly difficult loan renewal season facing us. Loan demand is still adequate. There's certainly plenty of lenders out there ready to make loans, not only us, but commercial banks as well. So I don't see a difficult credit environment next year. I do see a stressful time for farmers, though, as they try to deal with tightening profit margins.
So how are higher interest rates affecting producers from operating loans to capital purchases now?
You know, it has been interesting to us to see that you know, land values are remaining strong, cash rents are near record level in some areas, and in this kind of an interest rate environment. And all I can look at is, you know, interestingly enough, the interest rate environment we're in right now is about the same it was in 2007 before the last financial crisis. And so since 2008, really, we've had historic intervention in the credit markets by the Fed. And so those days are kind of coming to a close, and now we're seeing what I think a lot of people are referring to as a more normalized credit interest rate environment. It's just been a generation since we've seen it. And it does have an impact on bottom lines, and it does have an impact on the ability of some farmers to afford that next piece of ground, and that's very real. And it is especially hard for young producers.
The Farm Credit Council joined litigation against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Can you provide some insight into your concern over their implementation of Section 1071 on the Dodd-Frank Act?
You know, Dodd-Frank called for lenders to gather demographic data on borrowers for small business. In other words, small business loans. And we don't object to collecting that data, but the CFPB's rule, and we don't object to releasing that data. We're happy to do it. But CFPB's rule just misses the mark. They believe that a small business in agriculture is one that is has less than $5 million in sales. And I think I can hear chuckling from every farmer who just heard that number, because that is so off base that if you're talking about small business in agriculture, you know, the historic definition is either 250,000 or 350,000 in sales. And here's CFPB, who has no understanding of agriculture, is talking about 5 million. So they're covering virtually every farmer out there. And so our difficulty is actually figuring out how we would apply CFPB's rule to agriculture. And so we entered the litigation because we thought it was important to protect our customers. And we're asking Congress to move legislation that would authorize our regulator, the Farm Credit Administration, to basically put a rule out that said we could do this in a more farmer-friendly way. And so we hope that CFPB, we hope we'll be successful in the litigation to keep CFPB out of our lives a little bit here. But at the same time, we're asking Congress, if you want us to do this, let's do it in an appropriate way for agriculture.
What do they have to gain with that data, or how could that data be a challenge for future policy or litigation for farmers?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And we talked a lot about, okay, let's fast forward 3 or 4 years and let's say somebody has all this data and released it. What would it look like? The truth is we already know the answer to that, not because of what we in records we have for lending. We're not allowed to collect the information currently, but because we've got the Ag Census, which tells us what the answer is. You know, today farm credit makes about 45, maybe a little north of 45% of the agricultural loans. So our data is going to look just like the Ag Census. And so I don't know how much people are going to gain by this. I know a lot of borrowers traditionally have been very reluctant to put that kind of information in loan files, and I don't blame them. Given the reluctance on the borrower side and given what we think is not much to gain, at the very least, let's do it in a responsible, ag-friendly way.
Let's turn back to the Farm Bill for a minute. How important are those rural development dollars, and including broadband and other rural services? And we might throw into there as well the rural service providers that also need loans to be able to be effective in serving the rural communities.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I had a director, a Farm Credit System director. He was a hop grower out in Washington State, and he was, you know, getting up there like some of us are. And he wanted his daughter to come back and run the operation. And his daughter really wanted to. So they got on the phone, and she was living in Seattle. And so he says, hey, why don't you come back and run the farm? And she said, Dad, do you have internet service yet? And that was a threshold question. And I think that is a threshold question. Do you want vital rural communities or not? If you do, we're going to have to find a way to make the basic amenities available. And that means broadband telecommunication services. It means clean water. It means dependable power. It means hospital access. It means healthcare access. All of those things are necessary. And USDA does a heck of a job, I think, putting some of those things out there. But they need help. They can't do it alone. And that's something the Farm Credit System does. We've got about $50 billion invested in rural infrastructure out there. So I think if we're going to have a next generation of farmers, if we're going to have succession plans on there, we've got to find ways to make these rural communities vital, because nobody's going to live there if they're not.
Todd, you mentioned the wall that a young or beginning farmer has to push through to get into the business. Does this group deserve special attention, or is enough being done in policy to help young people come along and be that next generation?
I think it's very difficult today to be a young and beginning farmer. The barriers to entry, as I mentioned, are pretty significant. And so I do think they need help. Every Farm Credit System institution out there has a program for young and beginning farmers. There's a whole lot of education. There's a lot of peer networking. There's some discounted interest rates. There's some beginning sort of grant program available out there. There's a lot of focus on it. And that's all good, and we should do more, and we are doing more. But I think everybody has to realize this is really hard. The difficulty of starting from scratch today, I think you just can't overestimate how hard that is. And so whatever we can do to help this next generation get started, I think we ought to be thinking about how to do it. And if that's federal resources, great. If that's different types of ideas about how private institutions can get involved in that, that's great. You know, as a co-op, the farmers who are operating farms today sit on our boards of directors, and there's no higher priority for them. You know, they're asking, what can we do? What can we do? And that's why you see such robust young farmer programs in farm credit system. But I think there has to be some federal investment as well, because if we're going to keep a large number of farms, and if we're going to have people in rural America, then I think the federal investment needs to be there, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's farm programs, education, all those things are going to be necessary.
If you'd asked me a couple of years ago, before we got down to debate on a new farm bill, I would have thought that sustainability was going to play an even greater role in what maybe even farm programs look like. So the one thing that we didn't talk about with this new bill is sustainability and those new options and paradigms that may be coming for agriculture. How does Farm Credit see this?
You know, I think you and I were looking at this farm bill the same. You know, if you'd asked me this a couple of years ago, I was very worried about how this pressure might be responded to, right? And there's a lot of pressure. But I'll tell you that the conversation has fundamentally changed. And I think one of the things that's helped change it is the recognition that if you want to incentivize sustainable activities, however somebody wants to define that, right? Sustainable activities. You have to do it in a market base. You have to do it in voluntary. You have to do it in incentive based. It has to be science based. And I think you can't just go, oh, let's go do it that way. And so I think, you know, Republicans and Democrats both are pretty closely aligned on a lot of this, more than people might think. And the principles of voluntary, incentive based, science based, I think are going to come through in this farm bill. And I'll tell you, I've heard, you know, all four leaders talk in those terms of the House and Senate Agriculture Committee. So I'm optimistic that we will have a very pro-farmer conservation title in this farm bill. And I think it's going to adhere to those principles.
Well, Todd Van Hoos, we want to thank you very much for this busy season, you stopping by to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Todd, it is Open Mic, and today you get the last word.
Well, I really appreciate it, Jeff, and I'll tell you, I'm coming off one heck of an event. 2 weeks ago, we had 830 farm credit customers, farm credit directors, farm credit employees come into Washington with the sole mission of advocating for a strong farm bill. And we had great meetings on Capitol Hill. We had a reception which brought customers and their products. Members of Congress could view them, could talk to customers, could understand farmers. You know, that kind of legislative hand-to-hand combat, if you will, just can't be overstated right now. We need to build political pressure and political coalitions that are going to get this final five-year farm bill across the finish line. And so that's going to be our top priority for this year. We're looking at a very difficult time, I think, coming in agriculture. A lot of pressure on people out there. And the certainty that that five-year farm bill will provide, I think, is really very necessary. You know, the other thing we're looking at is in these times, I mean, we saw some commercial banks that have a heavy agriculture footprint go out of business this year earlier, Silicon Valley and others. And to me, the mission of the farm credit system has never been more vital than it is today. As farmers go into what may be a tougher economic environment, they know that there is a significant lender out there that they own, that they control, that is operated in their interest, that's ready to finance them. And so I think that now 107-year-old mission has really never been more vital than it is today. So we look forward to being with our customers in the next year, and we look especially forward to getting a five-year farm bill done.
Our thanks to Todd Van Hoos, President and CEO of Farm Credit Council, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.